Hi there, welcome to Ask Away, a podcast where kids can ask anything about the Bible. This is Riley.
And I'm Peyton. As always, we are here with my mom, her name is Meredith.
Hi!
Together we'll tell a Bible story, and we kids will jump in along the way to ask about what we notice, wonder about, or think is weird.
And then we'll talk about some great questions kids like you sent in. After the show, we hope you'll send a question too. Us a question too.
Yup, and we'll tell you how at the end of the show.
The Bible's pretty amazing because it helps us get to know who God is. And the Bible can be confusing and really different from how things are now. So we want you to know that when it comes to God and the Bible,
every question is okay.
And you can ask away.
It is summer here. We live in Southern California in the U.S. So what are some things you have been enjoying so far on our summer break from school?
Pac-Man Legos.
A Lego set that will look like a Pac-Man game, right?
Yeah, it'll look just like the arcades. It's like those little box things with the joystick and buttons.
Peyton, what about you? What is something you've been enjoying as we are on break from school?
It's also a Lego set. Just, it's a roller coaster.
I am excited for today's story. It is one that we actually have a different episode of, but today we're going to do it a little bit different. What are we doing this time, Peyton?
It's a poem.
It's a poem. So here we go. God's people wandered 40 years on their way to the promised land. God had freed them from mean Pharaoh and had even more good planned. But you know that 40 years is a long time to be wandering, so these are some of the things that I would be wondering.
Was this a real poem written by a real person, or did you just make it up?
I mean, I'm a real person and I wrote it, so does that make it real?
I meant, did someone from, like, when this was happening...
No, this is, I wrote this poem because I thought it was fun. Also, I have a pop quiz.
Pop quiz.
True or false? When the Bible says 40 years, it means 40 years.
Ding, ding, ding.
I think... it is not.
Often they write stuff metaphorically, so I'm also going to go with false.
If you also guessed false, you'd be correct. In the Bible, the number 40 often represents a long chunk of time or something having enough time to run its course. And being in the wilderness for 40 years is meant to help us know they were there for a real, real long time.
I once heard a story where it said 40 days and 40 nights.
That's another great example of the number 40 being used as a metaphor for a big chunk of time. If I were in the wilderness like God's people used to be, I'd pretend that it was one big camping trip with my family. What would you guys like to do on a camping trip?
Cook s'mores.
Cook s'mores.
I would wonder how God felt each time we started to whine, because that's something God's people did all the time. Riley and Peyton, would you please help me with this? I am giving you full permission to use your whiniest voice and say, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we want to go back to Egypt.
They wanted to go back to Egypt?
They wanted to go back to Egypt. They were so sure that everything in the wilderness was so hard, and they were so worried that God was not going to be good to them or take care of them, that they began to say to Moses and Aaron, his brother, send us back. At least there was food. It was better in Egypt. They really did say it. So are you ready? You got your voices ready? One, and a two, three.
We're hungry and thirsty, and we want to go back to Egypt.
Very nicely done. if I were in the wilderness like God's people used to be, I would wonder if God had forgotten about me. After all, it's really hot and we are getting hungry. Is God going to help out with this rumbly in my tumbly? Would you guys wonder this as well, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
Tell me some reasons why you might also wonder that.
I don't know, because we're hungry and thirsty.
What are some reasons that maybe somebody would not wonder or worry about that, perhaps?
Because they really trusted God.
But if I were in the wilderness, like God's people used to be, I would remember God had promised a land of milk and honey.
Pop quiz!
Wait, is milk and honey like a treat? Because like right now you can just go to the grocery store and buy like a gallon of milk and a bottle of honey.
Excellent question. Absolutely a treat. Really rich and really full of good calories and delicious. So it's idea that the land is abundant and has so much good stuff in it.
Pop quiz. True or false? Honey back then was not usually from bees. Ding, ding, ding. If you guess false, you're actually correct. They didn't usually have honey from bees. They had date honey. It dates, the fruit often had a sticky, sweet substance. And so that's what they called honey.
So we left off that I would remember God had promised a land of milk and honey. Not only did God promise that, God also helped us all. When Moses spoke to a plain old rock, God sent a waterfall. We didn't just need water, though. We also needed food. So God sent manna from the sky, and it tasted really good. We didn't know quite what it was. A funny sort of bread.
That's what manna means. What is it?
It tasted like honey. Really yummy. And it kept us fed. And then when we were hungry and needed more to eat, God sent quail every night so we would have some meat.
Wait, I never heard that he sent quail meat.
He did. He also sent quail meat eventually so that they had both manna and quail.
Oh.
Yeah. What about you? What would be the thing you wish God would send down every day for you to eat?
Salmon. Without the mercury every day, though, because that can be bad for you.
Mac and cheese.
I might wish for God to send down fresh berries every day. Right now, we have berries that we grow in our yard. They're called Alala berries. They're kind of like an even bigger blackberry, and they are so good. So right now, I'm definitely feeling like I could have those every day.
My grandma says they're a mix between blackberries and boysenberries.
So if I were wandering in the desert, like God's people used to be, I would try to remember all the ways God had been good to me. Like how I had once been enslaved, but God had made me free. How God had sent food and water and took care of my needs. If I were wandering in the desert like God's people used to be, I hope that I would learn how God is as good as can be.
Wasn't there a part where if they took too much manna, it would get infested with termites or something?
There was. When God sent the manna, God said, take what you need for today. But people were afraid that there wouldn't be enough, and so they took more. They took extra, and they kind of hid it away. But then the next day when they went to that stash, it had gotten all gross and covered in maggots. And it's part of how they started to learn that God was good. God could be trusted. Every day, new manna would come. But by not being able to keep the extra, I think it helped them practice that trust.
And now, a fabulous question from a listener.
So Caleb, who's 8, wants to know, why did Satan try to tempt Jesus? Here is his question in his own words.
I'm Caleb, and I'm 8. And my question is, why did Satan try to tempt Jesus?
If you don't know the story Caleb is talking about, it comes from the Gospels. And here is my really short summary. You ready? Jesus spent some time in the desert before he began what's called his public ministry. And while he was out there, he had an encounter with Satan, who tried to tempt him to do things a totally different way than the way that would be faithful to God. Satan kept offering him things and inviting him to do things. And in the end, Jesus said no to all of it. Now, of course, there are more details to that story, but for now, I'll say. The gospel writers have set up something that we might see in other kinds of storytelling as well. That Jesus is the hero of our story. He's the one that God has sent to show who God is and also to invite us to experience God's love and be in God's family in a whole new way. And like we see in other stories, that means there's also a villain. In this case, Satan. Satan gets represented as God's opposite, as God's enemy. And so Satan would want to tempt Jesus to go away from what God had for Jesus, because that would be a way for Jesus to fail in his mission. See, Jesus had a mission. He came to help people know that God was starting a new thing, a community of people who would live together in ways that match who God is. They'd love like God loves. They'd be generous like God is generous. They would help each other to be cared for like God cares for us. And so Jesus was out showing people that God was doing that new thing through him. That was the mission. If Satan could tempt Jesus, then Jesus would be thrown off mission. And that seemed like a good plan if you are, you know, not wanting God to get what God wants. Thank you, Caleb, for that great question. Our next question actually comes from Caleb's brother, Josiah, who's 5. He wants to know, how come Satan knew the Bible? Here's his question in his own words.
I'm Josiah, and I'm 5. And what I'm wondering is, why did Satan know the scripture?
Okay, so remember that our gospel writers are telling stories in a way that we might be a little familiar with. Jesus the hero and Satan the villain. When we see other stories with a villain, that villain often knows a lot about their enemy. In this case, Satan knows a lot about God, including God's story that was recorded in Scripture. Scripture did not look like our Bibles today, but it did tell the stories of who God is and what God had done. And Satan thought that if he could use Scripture to tempt Jesus, that might throw him off a little bit. It was a little bit of a way to be tricksy. One really important attribute of Satan as God's opposite and God's enemy in the Bible is the idea of being a deceiver, a trickster, a liar. And so if he could use something true in God's word, but then turn it into something false, like a way for Jesus to use his power that isn't how God would want Jesus to use it, well, that would be a pretty great trick to use. So he uses the Bible. And he knew it because I think that's how an enemy would want to know more about their enemy.
Okay, kids, we want to know what did you notice, wonder about, and think was weird. Have your grown-up help us and send us a question. Talk nice and loud. It can be an email, voice, DM, or a Voxo message. All those details are in the show notes.
Grown-ups, it would help us a lot if you gave the show 5 stars or left a review.
And grown-ups, you can find me on Instagram. I'm there as Meredith Ann Mailer. You can also sign up for the Kids and Faith newsletter, which comes out each month. And I would be so grateful if you would pre-order my book, Woven, Nurturing a Faith Your Kid Doesn't Have to Heal From. It releases August 22nd. And if you haven't ordered it, would you consider buying it now?
Yeah, my mom says pre-orders are like a big deal. Anyway, thanks for listening and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.